Ian Basarabi in studio this morning, and we're going to be talking about the fact that great ideas are often met with great opposition. So you come up with a fantastic idea as people are going to resist it. And I think that's partly because we hate change. When I was thinking about this, the first person that popped to mind was Galileo. Didn't he try to revise the whole Christian doctrine that the whole solar system revolved around the earth, that we were the center of the universe? And he came up with this concept and said, actually, we revolve around the sun. And he was quite literally prosecuted and persecuted for that. So yes, people come up with a new concept, a new idea, and they face resistance. Tell us why.
So Howard, it stems from something I actually got involved in last week with regards to mentoring and coaching a group of sales executives who have really been struggling to get a concept across. They're trying to bring a new technology. They're trying to bring a new idea, and their clients just aren't biting. And we came down to the fact that they are actually not listening to their customers, to their clients. They got so caught up in this idea, which is a good idea. I'm not discounting the idea. The idea is great, but they haven't stopped to actually listen to what their customers are feeling, what their customers are saying, how their customers are responding. They're going into these meetings so gung-ho on convincing the customer that this is the right thing for them that they're using everything from fear tactics to scarcity to everything. And I'm saying, you know what? You're just not going in there and saying, do you actually know what your customers want? And I gave it some thought, and I thought about, we can have the best tools, we can have the best processes, we can use technology, but if you're actually not listening to what your customer is saying, and I'm not just saying listening as in you sit down and you're just nodding your head and going, okay, as soon as Howard stops talking, I'm going to tell him what I'm going to sell him. It's actively listening to what they're saying.
So a perfect example of that is, of course, the Kodak story. Kodak's customers wanted a cheap, efficient way of storing their memories in the 20th century. Kodak didn't listen to that, and Kodak had decided, of course, that their business was storing memories on pieces of paper with chemicals on it. And by not listening and by not understanding what their customers actually wanted, they actively chose not to engage in the digital photography market, as a result of which they died. So that's a perfect example of a company that didn't hear, that were all about themselves and what their business was, without looking at what their customers were actually saying.
Exactly. And I don't think it's any coincidence, and I don't know if there's any history or linkage, but if you take the words listen and you mix them around, or you reconfigure them, it actually spells the word silent.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it does not. Zanati, can't.
We have to listen to the experts.
No, we don't. Okay. I have to check that up.
Howard, do you want a pen and paper? Write down the word listen. Okay, everybody sitting.
L-I-S-T-E-N, right.
Okay.
And then?
Change the words around. Spell
to what?
Silent.
Silent.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. There you go.
That's ridiculous.
Well, Zanati, I taught Howard something today.
I'm just doing a cross-checking.
Oh,
just,
wow. Okay.
I am cross-checking because have to. Yep, it's true.
There you go.
It is true.
Okay.
So that's appalling.
That's appalling. There you go. So you've learned something, huh? So
no, I think it's undermined my whole basis of living. But all right, you carry on.
Okay. So now that I've shocked Howard, let's carry on, Zanati.
Yes.
Because he's keeping silent now.
Without him.
Yeah. And the word listen means that you're not just hearing a voice. You're not just hearing someone talking in the background and it's like a background noise. Listening is actually concentrating and walking out of a meeting where you've gathered information. You've actually utilized that time effectively to recognize what the customers want, as opposed to going in there with a preconceived idea and trying to sell something. Because think about it, Howard, you're not going to buy something you don't need. or you don't want, or it's going to take a long time to convince you that you need it. Whereas if I understand that you need something, I can position what I'm offering in a far better way. But until I understand what that is, we're just going to hit this.
All right. So we know we've got to listen, and we're told this over and over again in our lives. You've got to listen. You've got to active listen. And you've got to, you know, to some extent, we hear this stuff. We are told this. How do we now integrate it and actually apply it? Because it's, you know, I always use this example is I read Men's Health, so I know I should be thinner and running more, but it doesn't mean that I'm doing anything about it. How do we convert this to something practical for ourselves?
So you used a good example. It's like exercise, or it's like a habit, and you have to develop a discipline or a habit. And I read somewhere yesterday, I think it was something like it takes 21 days to develop a habit and a few more days or something to reinforce that habit. Now,
right.
For me, we kind of like start off well, and then we kind of taper off and then go back to bad habits or old ways. So what you have to do is you almost have to formalize your whole demeanor, your whole meaning. When you walk into a meeting, think about it actively. Think about like, I'm going to now listen. I'm not going to talk. You need to develop techniques. So I develop a technique that in order to keep quiet, I breathe. And when I say I breathe, if I hear myself breathing still and I don't talk, I know the conversation is still alive, but it stops me from interjecting.
That's so interesting.
And those are things that you have to develop yourself in order to focus on what you're striving for.
Right.
Because often people walk in the room and they feel like they have to have the last word, or they have to say everything.
I'm just thinking, Santi, I would need duct tape. In order to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's another way. You can just put like a shocking mechanism. Every time you open your mouth, you get a shock. You
know, no, time is 8:21. I'd love your thoughts on it. Mark Luba says, 2 eyes, 2 ears, 1 mouth. Talk half of that which you listen
Absolutely.
To. That's cool. What are your thoughts on this? How do you actively listen? Do you have a technique? And are you an active, are you a good listener, or are you a particularly poor one? Roz says, noted that Charlene's noble East Rand heritage was highlighted on the news. Wise move, Howard. Continue like this and you can sleep with both eyes closed. So there we go. That's thanks to Zanati. I think the things that she does for me. Boketov team, I know that I'm going to be unpopular for saying this. Oh, we welcome this. But is it just me, or is Trevor Noah the most overrated and overpaid comedian in the history of comedy? Where he was just moderately funny before his great rise to stardom, all he has become is another pathetic anti-Trump propaganda puppet whose comedic tirades are about as fresh and new as moldy bread. That is from Yossi V. So Yossi, I would agree with the second part of what you're saying. I happen to think that Trevor Noah was super funny and really, really amazingly talented when he was here in South Africa and when he does his shows. But when, ever since he's gone to the United States and is pandering or playing to that market, and of course, as you know, not writing most of his scripts and most of his jokes, I agree with you. I think he's absolutely dull and lifeless. I actually can't even watch it. Ansan says, King David said, the best thing I have learnt in my life is to be silent. So Ian, tell us about listening and technology.
So the interesting thing is we may consider ourselves amateurs when it comes to listening, but something that's not amateurish and something that's listening to us all the time is our smart speakers. Now, you don't need to have to own one of those fancy Alexa devices or Google Homes or the others on the market. You literally need to have a smartphone. All our smartphones have a smart speaker. And what is a smart speaker? A smart speaker is effectively something that can listen to you. Now, that's a bit scary because it's like eavesdropping.
Mm-hmm.
But what's even more scary is that this is an American stat, but 1 in 4 Americans own a smart speaker. Now, what that means is that we need to discipline ourselves to listen effectively.
Okay.
Smart speakers are designed to listen constantly and to look for patterns, look for things that we're saying constantly, and then turning that into machine learning, and turning that then into stuff that, or information, I shouldn't call it stuff, but information that then gets sent back to you. So if you think about you talking to your phone and you say, hey, Google this, or Alexa, do that. Oh, there we go. Did it. Sorry. See, I was listening.
Yeah, that's very scary.
Yeah.
Wow.
But then the response that comes back is not necessarily just being a convenience to you. It's starting to build a profile of you. So the point, and just to leave some thoughts about the whole concept of active listening, it's not just a nice to have. It's not just nice to say, oh, I'm an active listener. I listen well and all of that. It's not just to play up the whole concept of being a good listener. It's really about being effective. Being effective at why are you listening? Why are you listening to someone? Because the key to effective listening isn't appreciating its importance, but understanding how to listen by recognizing what that looks and feels like in a customer exchange. So the next time you go in and you have a meeting with your client and your customer, develop the discipline to stop talking long enough to engage in a powerful way with your customers, and you'll be amazed at what you get out of that conversation.
Incredible. I think that is very, very sound advice. Time is 8:44. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem 101.9 High FM.